Amen. All right. Well, after 30 weeks of this, you'd think I would remember there's a video that I have to wait for. But yeah, if you're new with us today, I want to let you know, we've been in a sermon series called The Story. And that's 31 weeks. This is chapter 30 today. I can't even believe it. So I want you all to turn with me in your Bibles, get your Bibles out and turn with me to Acts chapter 29. Y'all getting there? Did I catch anybody on that one? Did anyone have trouble finding Acts chapter 29? Okay. There's no Acts chapter 29. Did I get you? Did I get anybody? No? Somebody did, but you don't want to raise your hand. I know. It's okay. Okay, there's no Acts chapter 29. I know. That was a cruel joke. I'm sorry, but here's what I want you to do now. I want you to look around the room, look at someone and say this. Okay, I want to hear you loud. Say to somebody, you are Acts 29. Go ahead. Good. All right, look at someone else and say, you are Acts chapter 29. That's it. See, that, guys, that is today's takeaway. Okay, this could be the shortest sermon ever. We could probably just go right now. You guys want to be done? Okay, not yet. But no, that's what I want you to leave with today. I want you to be saying, I am Acts chapter 29. I want you to be saying, you are Acts chapter 29. In fact, on your way out today, that's what you need to say to somebody. Don't forget, you are Acts chapter 29. All right, now this chapter in the story covers Acts chapters 20 through 28, all right? Other than the book of Revelation, which speaks of future events, this is the end of the historical timeline of the Bible. The last recorded events are here in this chapter, Acts 28, right? So let's just reflect for a minute on how the book of Acts started. We begin the book of Acts with the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. And his final words, the last thing he says right before the disciples watch him ascend into heaven are this in Acts 1:8. You remember this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and where? To the ends of the earth. See, that is God's plan. It has always been to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the entire world. And so that is exactly what Paul has been doing these last 22 plus years recorded in Acts. He's traveled all over the Mediterranean, spreading the gospel. He's doing what he was called to do. But you know what? That didn't stop him from being absolutely throttled by persecution. It didn't stop the message of the gospel from being rejected by a lot of people along the way. And so we finish the book of Acts in a very different place. We finish the book of Acts with Paul under house arrest. He's allowed to live by himself, right? But with a soldier guarding him and even attached to him in chains as he's awaiting his court hearing in Rome. And so it's under these circumstances that Paul gains the audience of the local Jewish leaders here in Rome. And they come to his house, where he is a prisoner in his own home. And they come to his house to hear what he has to say. But listen, they actually wanted to hear what Paul had to say, not because they had received any bad news about him from Jerusalem, but because they had heard so much about Christianity. You see that? Word had already reached Rome. Now, I'm not saying that someone had laid out the gospel like Paul did, but there were rumors and words and testimonies that had reached the ears of people in Rome already about this crazy thing called Christianity. You see, the gospel was already pressing against Roman culture. And so when the leaders met with Paul in his house, here's what it says in verse 23 of chapter 28. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God and from the law of Moses and from the prophets. He tried to persuade them about Jesus. Wow. After all day hearing the truth of God's plan, I was thinking about trying this on you guys today. Like, you want to just stay here all day long? And I can just tell you all this stuff. There's so much to say. No, nobody wants to stay here all day, right? Well, Paul had these guys captivated all day long hearing the truth of God's plan of redemption for mankind. And he was perhaps the greatest evangelist to ever spread the gospel. And here are the results. Are you ready? Verse 24. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. The Bible says that the elders and leaders went away arguing after that. I mean, you think they might care that Paul had just gone through a horrendous shipwreck where he almost died. Then he got bitten by this snake, right? He was delayed for months and months. Nobody knew where he was. And here he finally makes it. You think they would like think, oh, maybe God has something to say. But a lot of them would not believe. And so here it is. Here are the last words of Paul recorded in Acts. Acts chapter 28, verse 28. Here it is. You ready? It says, therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. They will listen. That's like it. That's like the end of the storyline. You know, what happens next? I don't know. That's like the end. It's always struck me as a bit strange that the last thing that we really know about Paul is that he's imprisoned. The last thing we know about the disciples, well, they've kind of disappeared from the story. Right? They've disappeared from the storyline. The last thing we know about the gospel is that it is out there. It's being spread. By who? Who's spreading it? Who is pressing against popular culture? In Rome, I can tell you, small churches. Some guys we don't know much about. Here are some of their names, like Timothy. I mean, we know a little about Timothy. Titus, well, there's a letter written to him. Guys like Silas, Erastus, Aristarchus, Gaius, and others. Who are these guys? We have no idea. We know them as Paul's traveling companions. Just guys that, there's no books written about most of these guys. There's a couple letters to Timothy. What are we starting to see here? As Acts comes to a close, the gospel is still being spread. And the last thing we are left with is that the gospel is being sent to the Gentiles. By who? By disciples of disciples. Somebody say, you are Acts 29. Look around. Do it again. Somebody say, you are Acts 29. All right, now say, I am Acts 29. That's a fun conversation going on over there. Who's spreading the gospel? Disciples of disciples of disciples. You see what's happening here? Let's talk a little bit of world data. Do you know how many believers are in the world today? Anyone care to guess? A billion? It's a good guess. It's higher. It's higher. 1.5, that's a good guess too. Here's what I came up with, the data I found. 2.2 billion. 2.2 billion people claim to now follow Jesus. Hallelujah. Is that awesome? When Christ came, nobody believed in him. There were zero believers. Actually, I think there was one, because moms always believe in their kids, right? That's right. There was always one. But after a little while, there were 12. Right? This is a story we know. And then after a little while longer, there were 70 that were sent out. Right? And after a little while longer, you know, we begin losing count. We begin losing track of names. We don't know these guys anymore. Now, modern day, fast forward, 2.2 billion people claim to follow Jesus. You know why that is? Because people just like you continue to share the gospel with their friends and their neighbors and their coworkers and their family members, and for whatever reason they had to travel or change their plans or change locations or change jobs, they carried the flame of the gospel with them. They became the next chapter in Acts. Do you think you have a role to play in God's plan of salvation? Do you think that you have a role to play? Yes, you do, because you are Acts 29. Somebody say amen. Amen. This whole story that we've been going through, it's about what it took to make things right with God and man. And it's about how His Word came into your life, how it was brought to you here in 2022. And you have it now. And the only question you need to answer is this: what am I going to do with the short time I have on this earth? What am I going to do with that gospel that has now made it to me? What is our job? What is the next chapter? It's simple. It's to pass it on until the return of Christ. Right? And that's what we'll be looking to in the next chapter in our final week of the story. Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 24. He says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." You see, all the disciples we've been reading about, they passed away. Paul passed away. We will most likely pass away. We better start praying for Jesus to come soon if we don't want to pass away. Should we have a prayer meeting the rest of the time? I think maybe. I don't know. We will likely pass away, but God's Word will never pass away. Right? And if you aren't passing God's Word to the next generation, then you're not answering the call. You're not answering the call of God's will on your life. Can you say amen to that? We should be sharing the gospel. We should be sharing it with our friends, our family, our co-workers, in our homes, in small groups, with our children. Well, I've said this before, but your kids are your greatest disciples. You have a lot of opportunity to share with them. Tell them about this story. What is it going to take? What is it going to take to make this happen? Well, the answer to that is hard to answer. We don't know what it's going to take. We don't always know. I can tell you what Paul said before he went and finally made it to Rome. He said this in Acts chapter 20 on his way to being imprisoned, right? He said, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Is that our aim today? That was Paul's aim. And of course, he went on to Rome, where he was imprisoned, and that's where we're left. You are the Acts 29 church. Amen? Now, let's talk about some historical context. Our good teacher, Jostin Hearn, yes, Jostin taught us in the biblical interpretations class that historical context matters. Is that right? Thank you, Jostin. You taught a great class. So, let's spend a minute here on that, okay? Paul was confined to house arrest in Rome from A.D. 60 to A.D. 63. All right, this is history. Now, although we know it was always God's will for Paul to preach in Rome, because Jesus said, "You will preach in Rome." He kept his promise. It was God's will. How that came to pass was due to Paul appealing to Caesar. As a Roman citizen, he needed to have a fair trial for what the Jews considered criminal. Okay, so they were ready to execute him in Jerusalem, so he really didn't have much of a choice, right? He appeals to Caesar, and off to Rome he goes. Now, there were many emperors in history known by the title of Caesar. All right, throughout history, but in Paul's time, that emperor was Emperor Nero. You may have heard of him. He was the emperor of Rome from AD 54 to AD 68, right? So we're right in Paul's time slot. There's no doubt about it. And you might have heard some things about Emperor Nero. Most likely you've heard of his cruelty towards Christians, right? And so in the days of Paul, Nero began a murdering spree. Anyone who stood in his way, including his own family members. But I'm going to tell you in a minute what he's truly famous for. And this comes with a disclaimer, all right, for the little ears in the room. There's a little bit of graphic but true historical content here, okay? I want you to know that before I read it, all right? But this happened. This comes from a website, and it's out there all over, but there's one I like to go to called Got Questions. I don't know if you've ever been there. Great, great website, a study tool to help you study. Go to Got Questions, Christian-based. You can type in anything, and you'll get it to come up. So here's from Got Questions about Nero. In July of 64... the great fire of Rome broke out and lasted for 6 days. Of Rome's 14 districts, only 3 escaped damage from the fire. Some historians believe Nero may have been responsible for the fire, although his involvement is not clear. What is clear is that Nero deflected the focus from himself by blaming the Christians for the fire, many of whom he tortured and killed. The historian Tacitus describes these atrocities. And here they are, covered with the skins of beasts. Christians were torn by dogs and perished, or were nailed to crosses, or were doomed to the flames and burnt to serve as nightly illumination when daylight had expired. Nero's use of Christians as human torches to light his evening garden parties is well documented. Ultimately, it is the brutality inflicted on early Christians for which Nero is best remembered. You see, Paul was not the last nor the only Christian who suffered greatly for the gospel. Nero was the emperor that Paul appealed to, and he was going to eventually have to stand before this cruel man and make his case. The gospel has come to us with much distress and suffering. I'm going to hit pause right here. And I know that we had a Veterans Day was Friday, correct? And I always love driving out there on 102 and seeing the field of honor with all of the flags out there. And veterans, I just want to commend you today. You're not unlike Paul. You've fought in the wars. You've served our country. And some have suffered much. And I thank you and we honor you today. So are there any veterans in the room today? I would just like to know. There is one. Okay. I'm going to have you stand if you're okay, Drew. Come on. And I know there's others that aren't here. Thank you, guys. Let's give these guys a hand, okay? We appreciate you. You fought the wars. You served. And we honor you for that. But Paul and the gospel have suffered in the same way. What's Paul thinking during this time of waiting for trial? Right? We know what he's thinking. Because when he originally set out for Rome, he told all his friends, "Hey, I'm never going to see you again." And so he's eager to write down all that he can pass along to the churches. He had deep concerns for what the culture would do to the church. And so here's what he did. He wrote the book of Ephesians. He wrote the book of Philippians. These are letters that he sent to the churches. He wrote what we know as the book of Colossians. He wrote Philemon. He wrote 1 Timothy. He wrote Titus. These letters were born out of this terrible pressure that was going on. That kind of makes you want to read them, doesn't it? Justin was right. Context matters. You need to know it. You need to know the history of what Christians have been through. And by now, Paul had a pretty good idea that he would probably die at the hands of Nero, and so he wrote his final letter, what's considered to be the last letter of Paul. It was a letter to Timothy. He called Timothy his son. And he wrote 2 Timothy to him, a very personal letter. Paul's last words to the leader of the next generation of disciples. And I have just a little bit from that. There's so much. We could be here all day. Starting in 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 8. "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. In verse 9, he says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Amen. We are called to join Paul in suffering for the gospel. We are called to live a holy life different from the rest of the world. And we're called to use our gifts, the things God has given us, to further his kingdom. We're called to spread the word. We're called to be Acts 29. And he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 8 and 9. He says, remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. That's how he finishes that. Come as it may, persecution has not stopped the gospel. And we'll see more of it. We'll see it in our lifetimes. We'll see it in the lifetimes of our children, in the generations to come. But it can't stop the gospel. We wake up today with 2.2 billion followers. You guys are part of that. But the work is not done. All right, the next phase in your life has to be to become disciples who make disciples. That's what we're after. To become absorbed in this manual called God's Word. And to let it change you. Let it change your life so that you can help others change their lives so that you can do the same. All right, look at someone one more time and say, you are Acts 29. Good. Now say, I am Acts 29. Okay, when you walk out of here today after this message, that's what I want you to tell somebody. Okay? Make eye contact. Tell them that. I don't want you to forget. Because the story lives on in your lives. And God wants to use you in his plan of salvation in someone else's life. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads with me and let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan that is working in this world. Your plan can never be chained. Your ministry carries on every day. And Lord, you prayed before you left this earth, you prayed for your disciples. This is what you prayed. You said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And you said, God, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Let us grab hold of that today, God. That we are sent into this world. to carry your gospel and to pass it along to the next generation and to be the church, to be Acts 29. Everybody said, amen. Thank you, guys, for being here. Come back next week and hear the final chapter of the story. And please come to enjoy the Thanksgiving brunch. We want to hang out with everybody. Have a good afternoon.